right, listeners, welcome to another episode of the WSCO Weekly Podcast. I'm here in studio with a special guest serving as co-host for today. I'm here with Brendan Dolan, who's the VP of Operations for Car Farm. Brendan's going to help me out, and we're going to dissect this whole concept of chat in the car business. Brendan, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on board. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Well, we've been trying to get together for, I guess, when did it start? Maybe a couple months ago?
Now, yeah,
a couple months ago. So Brendan's from up north, and he traveled down here for, what did you travel down here for?
So we're building an outside sales team. And so my first SoCal outside sales hire. So she came down for a fun air-cooled Porsche show and overlapped that with a new hire. I spent the last week canvassing and training. Had to walk into dealerships as the evil vendor and kind of break through the walls of the guys on the desk to get to a decision maker on a software.
Okay. And the Porsche event that you went to, the air-cooled event, what was that?
It was called Luftekult 5. It was in Torrance, California. It had over 1,100 air-cooled Porsches show up. And so a good friend of mine has a 71 911T with a big hot rod 300-horsepower motor. And so we drove that down from San Francisco down to Torrance on Friday, and then bummed around SoCal weekend, did the show on
Sunday. How was the gas mileage on that?
When we drive it hard, it gets 6 miles to the gallon.
Oh, that's impressive.
Six. So pretty much every time we would stop for fuel, which was every couple of miles, we'd just swap off who was driving, and had an absolute blast. I mean, it should be 6 hours to get down here, and it was 14 hours door-to-door, so we definitely made the most
of our tour. Just because of traffic and whatnot?
Traffic in SoCal, yes, but... You could drive down I-5, you could drive down 101, take a major interstate.
Which route did you end up taking?
We took Twisty Mountain Roads the entire time.
Okay.
So
pretty much the one then.
We did the one, we did the 58, the 32. We drove to Halama Beach, which is a one-way road to a beach just for the fun of it. So,
nice.
Yeah, absolute blast.
God, so jealous of you.
There's very few real car enthusiasts in the car business. I'm one of the car guys that got sucked in for my love of cars.
I love it. Well, listeners, also stay tuned. We're going to have another special bonus episode with Brendan here. So, Brendan, for today, I wanted to discuss with you the idea or the concept of chat, a dealership website chat feature, where it was, where it is now, where it's going to be. I have my own thoughts and opinions that I will try to keep to a minimum, but I can tell you that chat for me is, you know, I think I'm a little bit different as a chat user, or if I'm contacting a dealership and I'm using chat, because I'm a little bit more educated about the process, so usually I can't get my answers. However, there are some cool things that are going on, and you're going to hear from two guys that I had the chance to sit down with at NADA, Michael Chaparro and Jeff Stearns with CarChat 24.
Awesome.
Cool.
Sounds good.
All right, so let's get into the show.
I guess if it wasn't for lawyers or television evangelists, then car dealers would have no one to make fun of. This is Jeff Stearns, CarChat 24.
Michael Chaparro with ChatLead.com, Inc. We're representing CarChat 24.
Make fun of them or not, automotive dealers are innovators.
So I like this comment by Jeff. So Jeff is he's like a 30-year veteran of the automotive industry. He's worked at, he's originally from Florida and kind of works in Florida, but he grew up in the car business working with his dad, and has, you know, was working at the desk at a number of dealerships in Florida. And then now he serves as the vice president of sales and business development at CarChat. And what I like about Jeff's comment there is I'm a believer that the dealership world is definitely a risk-taking industry, in which they're willing to employ things like chat, which I think is a non-perfect solution. However, in the retail space, I don't think there's any other retail company that actually would be as proactive and innovative as a dealership.
So for my over decade in the retail environment, you know, everything's in a 30-day cycle.
Yep.
You're only as good as your last month was. And if I have a bad month, I'll look for a solution to fix that, to have a good month moving forward. A lot of larger corporations work on quarterly, annually, what are our projections. In the car business, when I was a retail sales guy, I mean, I could have two, three bad months in a row, and now I'm carpet dancing for my job.
Yep.
So if there's something that I could do to stand out against the local competition, and you know, in my years as a Volkswagen salesperson, if I have an edge over the three local dealers around me that sell VWs, you know, that might be enough to get me off the carpet dancing in front of my GSM.
Yeah.
So on the employee level, I might take the ownership of, I'm going to try something to see if this will work, to see if I can make it happen, to impact, obviously, my personal income, but also keep me from getting in trouble. And there's not a whole lot of industries where your feet are held that close to the fire that an entry-level employee will take the burden of ownership of, hey, this is a new, this is an unknown, but if it works out, great.
Right.
And obviously, once it works out for you, the guys down the street from you figure it out, they implement it as well, now you no longer have your competitive edge.
Right.
So we like to say that the business is stuck in the 1970s, we do things the old-fashioned way, but he's absolutely correct. Is most smart sales guys are always looking for what puts me ahead of the pack, what makes me different, how do I stand out? And smart stores look at how can my store stand out, how can I empower my entire staff to do something that's a little different.
Dealers say, should I have you do it or should I have my staff do it or what? And by the way, if you say that you want to do it, Mr. Karchak guy, that means you're probably just trying to raise my ticket. I just ask them how they feel after they listen to the recorded inbound phone calls.
So obviously, Brendan, here we're talking, Jeff here is talking about the benefits of having a fully managed chat. Now, you obviously came from the dealership world and you worked in a sales, and as you graduated up the dealership ladder, you were more in a marketing and operations role. If you're the litmus test to Jeff here and how salespeople answer calls, are salespeople answering calls correctly? Are they not? What's some of the bigger mistakes that they make?
So I'm gonna tell you the story of the phone dent. The phone dent. I worked for a dealer principal who was a lead by example guy, right? Just great mood every day, shook everyone's hand, said hi to every single person when he walked in the morning. Never was in a bad mood, never got angry, never did anything out of the ordinary other than I'm a professional who is well put together.
Okay.
So he asked me, could we squeeze more juice out of our phone system? Can we get more deals on the phones? And so I gave him the login to our tracking system. I said, just brace yourself, you're going to hear a lot of stupid. So I give him the login. About 30 minutes later, I hear him kick his chair into the wall, slam his door shut, and he went home for the day.
Jesus.
At like 3 o'clock. And then later that evening, he sends me a text saying, you know, how much on average does it take to make the phone ring? I was like, well, I mean, it depends on the lead source. Some are cheaper, some are more expensive, but $8 to $12, somewhere in there. And he's like, I just listened to hundreds of dollars of marketing just wasted by just terrible responses. So he has a very valid point.
Yeah.
The average sales guy does not stick to scripts. They don't stick to anything that works well. They just kind of wing it. Uh-huh. And that kind of transfers over into chat.
You know, I'd add to that and get to a little bit more of a cultural element of salespeople where, I mean, be it if you're an immigrant / minority working in the car business, or you're perhaps on the other side of the spectrum where maybe you're the older generation, all right? You're the first generation car guy who's been in the business 30 plus years, and so you may not see the value anymore of the quality of a phone call because you grew up in the days where it's like, yeah, look, you want a car, well, get your butt down here, and that's the only way that we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of that cultural element too between those demographics of salespeople at dealerships. And I know specifically in Southern California here, there's a pretty big population of immigrants that work in the car business.
Yeah, and same in Northern California.
Yeah.
The big thing that I found was it really comes down to training and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you train the guys how to talk on the phone correctly, say the right things, and give them the roadmap of you need to guide the conversation towards an appointment,
mm-hmm.
you know, any demographic can fit in that. But if you don't train and hold them accountable, you just kind of get what you get.
There are things that we do on a concierge level that, for example, what will your holiday business hours be? What's your service manager's name? Can you show me a credit app? And we have a neat little trick where instead of passing them a link, we change the browser for the shopper to give them a true concierge experience.
So this is where you do start to see that chat has evolved. It's no longer just a chat window on a dealership website in which a customer starts the conversation, and then it's you just go back and forth now, right? This whole idea now that there's a concierge element to a chat where in Jeff's particular case and in CarChat24's case, they're able to say, oh, you're looking at You have a question about our service specials. Here, let me switch your screen to go through service specials, and then we could talk a little bit more about that. So this kind of goes back to the original point of how the automotive industry is kind of leading other retail spaces when it comes to the customer experience.
Yep. So we tried a chat company years ago, and I forget their name, but it allowed our BDC to do the same thing. You know, I can see what you're looking at right now, and I can navigate your browser to what you're looking for. So I can't make a service appointment. They could actually go in there and say, great, go click here. Okay, here you go. Here's how you make your service appointment. Mm. And what we found in chat was you couldn't just script everything because a dealership has multiple profit centers and multiple reasons why they're inquiring. So it's not as easy as we'll just explain, does this car have a third row seat? It's more along the lines of, well, where on the website can I find this?
Right.
Or what information, you know, could you have about detail services for my car? So it's interesting he's talking about doing concierge services because he's understanding that the gamut of questions that get asked is far outside, you know, do you guys have a blue Jetta in stock?
Right.
It's just not that simple.
Right. Yeah.
It could be as simple as Amazon has lugs for my Jetta for $495. Can your parts department sell them cheaper?
Right.
So chat has to be a lot more full featured than just a simple, you know, word track of, yes, we have it, come on down.
And I think it would be interesting also to see if dealerships, perhaps in partnerships with website vendors or chat vendors, are able to redirect customers to non-public pages on the website. Think of landing pages where in the case of where a customer is wanting to inquire more about parts, for instance, that the website vendor or the chat vendor can redirect the customer to an internal page that is not public, because this then offers a new level of engagement and can start a new conversation with that customer. Sometimes for myself, I hate when the chat is on every single page and it's almost overbearing and asking too much of the customer to interact with the website. Because again, every single page, a customer can access every single page that is public, but if there are pages that are non-public, well, it does create this new level of engagement with that customer.
I will tell you currently that we are A/B testing static images for the operator versus graphic GIF images, where when you're chatting, you know, the emoji is looking down at the keyboard, turning up and smiling. We're constantly testing and probably have 27 to 28 different names in rotation, heavily tilted towards female right now. And we're testing blonde, brunette, redhead, you name it, strawberry blonde, all the different colors. And right now, I believe...
So, Brendan, you were chuckling here. What's on your mind?
Okay. Everyone that's worked in the retail environment knows that certain things tip your hand and help you sell things, right? An attractive female who can speak intelligent about cars is going to do great with the wife and enamor the husband. So they have data to support, hey, this one, you know, avatar, gifatar, what do you want to call her, does better. If there's data to support that, I get it. But at the end of the day, any car guy knows the quality of the content, the quality of the sales process trumps everything else.
Yes, certainly.
I had a lady, I swear to God, her Facebook photo could have been her standing in front of a dark, stormy castle getting struck by lightning in a rainstorm. I mean, she was just the most glum-looking, miserable person on planet Earth.
But she could sell.
She sold 30 cars a month.
Yeah.
Like clockwork.
Yeah.
And people loved her. And you'd see her walking through the lot with this like sour expression on her face, stomping around. You go, God, she's a miserable human being. She sold 30 cars a month profitably.
Well, you know, what's interesting is with Michael's comment. Now, look, admittedly, I don't know if I believe it all, right? But again, to your point, right? There is a psychology behind selling, and I'm certain there are these data points that vendors and companies are doing to optimize this experience for customers. Even if you are starting to get to this granular level of blonde, brunette, strawberry blonde, you know, highlights, no highlights, bangs.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a picture or a GIF, it's like on one hand, I was trying to imagine this. If I am chatting and there's a GIF of a profile pic in which then every time that I'm chatting, the eyes of that person look down at the chat window. I mean, I guess there's a little bit part of me that's like, okay, I think I think my time is being respected, and I think my time is being valued, but I can't, again, at the end of the day, it's kind of like, okay, well, let's see what your answers are then.
Yeah, I mean, I come down to data is data, right? So if they say we've had 10,000 chats and we found this completes more favorably than others, you can't lie with science, right? I mean, the data is the data. However, I would want to dig one step deeper, peel that onion back a little more and go, okay, the quality of responses, was there differences? Was it different agents were chatting? I mean, was it the same agent was the strawberry blonde girl with a certain highlights in the bikini on? I mean, for me, the human aspect was still, my intuition says the human aspect should trump what that is.
The typical chat is 8 minutes.
There's definitely, we see statistically across all of our accounts that we run anywhere between a 7 to 9 second volley response time. You ask a question, we think about it, 7-8 seconds, we're getting back to you with an answer on that. And then across the board statistically, the average right now is hovering right around 8 minutes. During an 8 minute conversation, which online is an eternity, let's all reflect on 15 and 30 second Facebook ads, but halfway through them, you're ready to smash your computer. 8 minutes is a long time.
So there's no doubt that 8 minutes online, as Michael said, is an eternity. There's no doubt about that. I do kind of question what an 8 minute chat conversation looks like, though. I mean, I would have to think there's problems that the customer is expressing, and that's where the whole troubleshooting comes in. Because certainly if you're searching inventory and you're just wanting to know a little bit more options, lease payments, those kinds of things, I don't think those are 8 minutes long. And I guess, well, you know, on the polar opposite, if 8 minutes is the average, so then let's take the 15 minute talk. What is that about? Like, I don't even know what people are talking about at that point.
I mean, that kind of raised a big red flag for me. Okay. In my years of running BDCs, we targeted about a 3 minute talk time. And
That's talk time. That's not, is that the same as chat? Is that
no? So a little different metric, right? Okay. I go, if I get a phone call, I should be able to wrap this call up in about 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you have numerous calls past 3 minutes, I'm gonna start auditing your phone calls and see, why are you so verbose? What's taking you so long to look up? When I chat outside of the car business, I mean, recently I had to replace my Wells Fargo debit card. It was easier to chat in. And I chatted in for the convenience of not calling the 800 number. And within a minute or so, I was, well, why was your card? Why do you need it? Well, I lost it. Okay, well, deactivate that one, send you one. Great, thanks. It was a minute conversation.
Right.
I chatted for the speed and convenience. So my thought is, if I can call a store and an accomplished BDC guy can wrap my call up in 3 minutes, why am I going to screw around for 8 minutes chatting? Right. That seems like I'm delaying and prolonging the process. It's not convenient.
It's happened to me where I would call or I would start a chat conversation with a software as a service company like Adobe. And usually it's dealing with something financially related, as in they charge me for an additional month. They charged me full price when I should be getting a promo. And now that is taking maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. One of the reasons is because I am chatting with somebody from India. But the second thing is, you know, for whatever reason, there's all this account lookup. And now I know that Michael says that there's a 7 to 8 second volley response time, which I would think that's actually pretty good and pretty quick. I mean, that is pretty impressive. But if you are starting to get into the weeds of an account, then yes, that's not 7 or 8 seconds anymore. Now you're talking 30 seconds a minute. And especially when you're not from that country, I could see that stretching out a little bit longer. But, to your point, if I'm going to chat with a dealership about something service, something sales related, I wouldn't want to be chatting for 8 minutes. Again, I mean, especially if it were a constant going back and forth, there's nothing that they would be able to, there's no more value they can provide to me on an 8 minute chat that I couldn't, you know, I would think at that point, like, you're primed to schedule a phone call, or, you know, you're primed for who's ever chatting with you that's representing the dealership to just go in for the kill and say, hey, look, why don't we just talk about this?
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way. When you're texting back and forth to somebody, that's similar to chatting back and forth. You know, you're using your keyboard and your mobile device to fire information back and forth. If they're saying that the volley time is 7 or 8 seconds, that's a lot of back and forths in 8 minutes.
Yep.
If I'm talking to a friend of mine back and forth for 8 minutes on a text, I'm probably talking about something I'm really excited about, something I just did, or I'm really mad at you because you missed my wedding or something. I mean, what is a content that would take that long?
Or it's a group chat, right, where you have other people chiming in because, you know, again, as a one-on-one conversation, it is a long time to have a conversation via chat.
Exactly.
I worry about do our dealers want bots or AI, and do the customers want it? But at the same time, I wonder, what if we went that way? By the way, we've tested and worked in those areas and haven't found them to work as good as our six-year average tenure operator yet. But I always wondered, what if you didn't hide the fact but made a big deal about talk to our robot?
So, Brendan, this is, again, kind of talking about the evolution of chat here now, right? I think this will probably be more the future of chat. I mean, I think we're starting to see that already. I know one of the companies, Dealer Inspire, has their chat bot, and they're, make no mistake, they're very open about it too. They, at least to the dealership side, that they, you know, they're telling dealership this is very much a chat bot here, right? From the customer's standpoint, I mean, put yourself now as a customer. If you knew you were chatting with a bot, would you be okay with that?
If it was identified as a bot,
yes,
then I'd be fine. And if it's giving me relevant, quick example.
If they identified as a gay bot, would that be okay with you?
Yeah, I'm from San Francisco. That's why. But the biggest thing is, I effectively chat with a bot all the time, every single time I do a Google search, right?
Yep.
I'm asking Google, give me an answer to something. If a bot says to me, you know, hi, I'm a bot similar to a search engine, I'm going to access data for you. What can I look up? Well, I'm cool with that. I'm Jenny from Santa Monica. I'm a blonde girl with highlights.
Strawberry blonde.
Strawberry blonde with highlights. Then I start going, we're being a little disingenuous.
I think the one thing about being open with a bot too, and how the customer outside of automotive is being shaped in how they interact with bots. I mean, let's look at, you know, you had mentioned Google. Well, what about OK Google?
Yeah.
Hey Siri.
Hey Alexa.
Hey Alexa, right?
Exactly.
So then when you know as a customer who you're talking with, and look, there goes my phone.
Here's your phone, exactly.
So when you know who you're talking to, even if it is a bot, you know then how to frame the question. I'm trained to know that this bot has a limited capacity on what it can answer, but it can answer. It might not be able to answer these very profound questions, but on a very superficial level, it can answer a million questions, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Exactly. If I'm chatting in somewhere, it's because I haven't been able to find relevant information quickly on their website. If there's a chat function that has the ability to scrape through all of their data to give me the relevant answer to why I'm inquiring, I'm good with that.
Right.
I don't need to type a human for that. On a dealership level, I might need to type a human for, what's your max money factor markup? Because I'm sitting in a showroom down the street and they're saying a point a quarter is fair, and I think I disagree with that. Right. A bot might not answer that question.
Exactly.
There might need to be the I need an adult button on that one. But if it's, you know, do you have a blue Jetta in stock? A bot can rip through inventory pretty fast and say, I have 35 in stock. Here's a link to look at them.
But see, I think that now we're getting back to this idea of the whole evolution of chat now, and that as we continue to move forward, because now we've been in a place where chat once was very just, you know, the easiest form of communication with a dealership, knowing that it was a one-to-one conversation with another human on the other side, or again, at the dealership side, to all of a sudden now you have data points of blondes versus brunettes. Again, we have all this data now in terms of average talk time to eventually bots, and again, I think we're already seeing some of those bots, but just the whole idea that, yeah, look, stop. The car business already has this history of being shady and untrustworthy, so then now it's like, okay, look, let's just tell me you're a bot, and yeah, I'm okay with that, and I'll know how to treat you.
Exactly. And I think a big part of it is, in the car business, we always get seduced by the new whiz-bing wow thing that's going to fix and sell us 10 more cars a month, but we forget that the correct person in the correct process, generally speaking, is what saves the day and sells cars. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's managing your chat and it's the right person in the right process, sure, could you fix that with AI? I mean, maybe. A good AI bot doing the right process might trump a bad person doing the wrong process. So you might have an AI bot that outperforms a poorly trained salesperson. In that case, hey, you've moved the yardstick down the road. You're selling more cars because that bot does a better job with a basic chat than Toothless Joe out back who doesn't believe in the technology. So I can see that being relevant to our industry. My only concern is over-relying on, hey, you got a really talented guy in the store who really knows his inventory and really knows how to communicate and build rapport with people. I don't see AI in the short term outperforming that person.
I think this has become a dealership problem of the 22nd century, 21st century.
Sure, close enough.
Close enough.
We're time travelers.
Where, you're already having a lot of dealerships move away from commission-based salespeople, right? It's just getting a little too expensive, especially when on the sales side of things, that becomes a losing proposition for a dealership. So then now it's like, okay, how do we incorporate technology to lower our staff costs, maybe even lower the amount of staff that we do have, but let's keep, the good staff that is performing. So, a bot could supplement that.
Yeah, the number one thing we want to do in a chat or on a phone call is set an appointment. Sometimes you have to make a few emotional deposits within that chat, answer 6 or 7 questions. That way, natural response when we ask for your name or your email, or hey, I'm going to go touch that car and call you right back, you'll give the name and the number because this gentleman's helped you. He's answered 6 or 7 questions. What we do see frequently in most of the chat world is someone will come into a chat window, ask 7 questions, get no responses except someone saying, what's your name, what's your number? Sometimes you just want to ask the question and get help, right?
Okay, so Brendan, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, let's set the ground rules here. You would agree, and I would agree too, but let me just get your affirmation on this. You would agree that the purpose of chat is to schedule an appointment?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I am going to say that that's been the downfall of chat. I think that if the focus and the aim of chat is to schedule an appointment, you eventually get to the point where there's someone like myself or other people like myself who, when we start to engage in a chat where, look, if I'm engaging in a chat with a dealership, I'm pretty motivated already. They may not know that, but again, to a certain extent, hopefully they will start to know that based on my questions that I'm asking them, to the point where as we go through this chat, if all of a sudden if their whole point is to schedule an appointment, and as we go through this chat, they're going to flub it up because they are avoiding the details of the answers that I need in order to eventually me volunteer to make an appointment with that dealership. On the flip side of that, as Michael alluded to at the very end, sometimes people just need some help. If that were the purpose of chat, would a dealership, and again, I don't have an answer for this, but would a dealership go further with their chat solution?
So first off, I want to send him a fruit basket for Christmas for saying what he said.
Okay.
Because in the modern world, every single time you go online, what are you effectively doing? You're asking questions and you want a relevant answer, right?
Okay, yep.
So what happens when you engage with a store? You have a question that's unanswered. Why are you contacting a car dealership? Is it to say hi to the salesman? Is it to think about a purchase you might make in 4 or 5 years from now? No, you're on the roadmap to buying a car. And there's questions you have that are unanswered that are keeping you from moving forward. So he's 100% correct. If somebody chats with you and they have questions, you 100% have to answer them because everything you do in modern internet culture is go online, go to Amazon, how much do these sheets cost? I want to know immediately how much those damn sheets cost.
Right, but I think the simplistic methodology then of answering those questions with the goal in mind of scheduling an appointment, this is almost akin to putting a salesperson on a chat where eventually they're going to skip a lot of the steps because they're answering questions, but again, they just want to sell you a car.
Ah, see, I think we can't conflate the issue. That person's contacting the store in a sales capacity because they want to buy something, right? But somebody's holding them up. They're log jammed from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate goal for me is to give them all the relevant information that they need, so when I ask for that appointment, they feel confident that I'm the person that's trustworthy enough to take care of them, and they feel good about saying yes to that appointment.
Well, I would agree with that. Although I would also have to add, though, I think there's a lot of the chats that currently exist out there that don't do that, that merely they'll kind of obfuscate some of these questions as a way to, okay, well, look, let's just get to me getting your contact information. Let's just get to me getting your email. And so again, they're really not getting into the weeds of answering the questions of the supposed buyer. They'll answer a few questions. So let me give you an example here. So this was a chat that I engaged with that I'm actually surprised that I kept this. So the chat window comes up. It says, would you mind confirming the stock number of the vehicle that you're interested in? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I put in the stock number. Response, great. While I look into this vehicle, what questions would you like me to answer today? My question, is there a middle seat at all in the second row, or are these just captain's chairs?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I'm a little bit of a different buyer because I know that in this particular case, there's the option to have captain's chairs. And it will, you know, if you go, I think, to the actual VIN number and you look at all the features, it'll list it out as optional.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't, you know, specifically state it on the Maroni that the option of a captain's chair is on there, then it's not on there. Again, it's just stated as an option.
But still reasonable request.
Reasonable request, yeah, right? And then to which the response is, great, I will, you know, so my question again, is there a middle seat? Great, I will just be another moment while I research this for you. Thank you for your patience. Great news. I see this 2018 Acadia is showing available in our online inventory. My resources are not showing a middle seat in the second row. Ultimately, our sales teams are experts in our entire inventory and are in the best position to confirm this. Would you like me to schedule an appointment?
Wrong. See, that is where I'll agree with you, that the appointment cannot be, we have to railroad and hammer square pegs into round holes to get to the appointment. Because that chat did not deliver relevant information to your question to validate your appointment.
Right.
It was Mike mentioned making deposits before you ask for withdrawals.
I love that. Yeah.
I love that statement. I use it all the time in sales. And I would play calls or I'd audit emails for guys. I'm like, guys, you asked for 5 withdrawals and you made no deposits. If a customer's got a simple question of does this have captain's chairs or not, before you ask for the appointment, you have to answer that question. If you answer the question saying, yes, it does have captain's chairs, is that what you're looking for? It is what I'm looking for. Great. What time do you want to come down and take a test drive in this vehicle?
I would almost like to go further, though. I mean, again, I think again, it's almost like the rapport building hasn't been developed yet based off of, and again, I don't want to, you know, get too granular with this by saying like 1 or 2 deposits, right? But in an ideal world, right, this is how I would have treated this. This car, Acadias don't often come with captain's chairs, but this one does have it. And we have this one as well as 5 others in stock. Were you only looking at this car? No. I'm actually looking for a car like this that has navigation and black exterior. Oh, we actually have 3 of them in stock. Is this something that you were looking to test drive? You see where I'm going with this,
exactly.
Right? But again, I think because the purpose has become schedule the appointment, all of a sudden start to skip all those steps to get to that point. And again, I think this is just, and again, I think this is going back to this is a non-perfect solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet this is better than anything that's out there in any other industry. So,
I mean, I definitely agree with you. Your devil's advocate point of view, I agree with. I feel like we're splitting a very narrow hair in the fact that,
sure. I'm right.
Exactly. You are 100% right. I'm sorry, sir. When you run any conversation with a human being, we all know in the car business that offering up answers and solutions and options works.
Yeah.
And if you do that in chat, you'll have a greater benefit, right?
Totally.
If your first thought is, hi, my name is Brendan. I'm chatting in about Acadias. Hi, Brendan. When today can you come in? Well, no, you're using it incorrectly.
Right.
You know, there's a definitely very big middle ground where you're still qualifying the customer. I was talking to a GSM buddy of mine yesterday. And we're laughing about how the sales process is the same as it's ever been. We've just moved the medium.
Totally.
And the same charismatic person on the lot who says, oh, this isn't the right one. I have an idea. I have a car over here. Come walk with me. That same thought needs to be brought over into chat. And it's, hey, I don't have the captain's chairs one. However, great idea for you. The one without captain's chairs drives the exact same as the one with captain's chairs. And I can show you that car. If you need the captain's chairs, I'll get the thing for you.
Or, you know, it's in the case too where it's like, well, why are you looking for captain's chairs? Oh, I wanted to put a baby seat. Well, actually, you don't want to put a baby seat in a captain's chairs. Oh, really? Why not? And then all of a sudden you go into it. And then all of a sudden that prospective buyer is like, I don't want captain's chairs.
Exactly. It's the same thing it's ever been on the lot. It's all the same. Agreed. Qualifying the customer. You're doing it in a different medium.
Agreed. Hey, listeners, that was another episode of the Wisco Weekly Podcast. I want to thank Michael Chaparro and Jeff Stearns for sitting down with me and talking about Car Chat 24. I also want to thank Brendan Dolan for being a featured co-host on this episode. You can hear the unedited interview I did with CarChat24 on our YouTube channel. Please be mindful that the interview took place in the expo floor, and so it was quite loud, and therefore there's going to be quite a bit of mic popping in our interview. Here is a glimpse of next week's episode.
We'll go back to McMullen BMW. If I have a Chevy Tahoe on the lot, my team might know a little bit about BMWs, but they don't know anything about a Tahoe, right. You know? So what are we doing as dealers to make sure that our sales consultants are armed with the information that they need?
Please be sure to visit our Facebook page and our Twitter page and follow us and like us. As always, cheers, pros lahaim, kipish nastravi, salut, kampai to the customer experience.